I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here it is, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni talking draft from the NovaCare facility.
Like they do it on the...
in the streets in your city.
Yeah, but they also do it on the scoreboard of like baseball games.
Oh, sorry. We're live? Like this is being broadcast on like... live? Is this being... Oh, okay. Yes, it is being broadcast. PhiladelphiaEagles.com, best website around. All right.
Howie, you guys have locked up a lot of your young offensive players, a lot of, like, basically all of them. With that being said, going into the draft, do you feel a need to prioritize that side of the ball?
I think we got to be really... Oh, okay. I was intrigued by the question. I think what we try to do to the best of our abilities is go into the draft trying to fill as many needs as we possibly can through free agency so that we can be open to the best players in the draft.
Following up on that, Nick, what does that do for you when you know that these guys are going to be together for the next at least 3 years, most of your offense? What does that do for the offensive coaches?
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I think it's exciting as not only offensive coaches, but also just the culture of our football team, that these guys like are going to continue to grow as football players, grow as leaders, grow in culture with our as a team. And so that's really, really exciting. And you know what? It's like it's exciting for the football team. But gosh, when you're a coach and one of your players, you know, gets that the big extension like that. It's really an unbelievable feeling. I think when I first got here, like kind of went through that. Some of the indie players when I left were starting to get paid, and you're like, oh man, it was tough not to be around for that. And now I'm being able to experience that here with the Eagles. It's really a special thing because it changes these guys' lives forever, and their families' lives, and their kids, and their grandkids. Like, what an unbelievable thing! And just so happy for our guys that have done that. And so it's like, yeah, it's really important, and you're just, and as far as all those things I talked about, and then also, you know, just an awesome experience to be able to have with these guys.
Now, in the last six drafts, you've only drafted three cornerbacks, and none of them higher than the fourth round. And any draft that you've overseen, there's only been one that's been drafted in the second round. Why do you hate cornerbacks? No, I'm only kidding. You found alternative ways to kind of fill the position with varying degrees of success. How do you view that position and how you've evaluated it, and what have you learned from past mistakes and successes?
Yeah, I think that obviously corners are a huge part of playing defense in the National Football League right now. We always talk about affecting the passing game, and just like on offense, we talk about the offensive line and having skill guys. We talk about the defensive line and having guys who can cover on the outside, on the inside, and how much that helps you. Obviously, 2 years ago, I think we were number two in pass defense, and we had two guys who one was a second team.
Number one.
We're number one. Thank you, Ruben. And I, you know, we had Slay made the Pro Bowl, and James was a second team All Pro. You know, and I think that that just goes to show, you know, how important that is to playing good defense. So always, I've felt that's a priority. Obviously, when you give those numbers, those are compelling. You know, we found different ways. And really going back to me being here, and even as a personnel director, we have signed some Pro Bowl caliber corners, or traded for Pro Bowl caliber corners. So we've kind of probably done it a different way. But, yeah, you're right. Obviously, those numbers are what they are.
When you have a good
target, did I answer that, Jeff? Was there a second part of that?
Yeah, well, just in terms of, like, you've had, some of them, I guess they're all different in terms of when they haven't panned out. Has there been a unifying theme in terms of when you looked at that position, and maybe how you can look at it differently in terms of having success drafting at it?
Yeah, and some of those second day guys maybe had more success after they left here than they did here as well. So I think going back and looking at the things that you've missed on is important. And we've certainly done that at the cornerback position.
Howie, when you look at this turnover at the defensive coordinator spot here, how do you balance wanting to get players that might fit a scheme or a system versus realization that these players might not last from coaches?
Yeah, well, obviously have a lot of faith in our coaches, and everything we're doing here is to do something not only for the short term but the long term. And, with Coach Fangio taking over our defense, his influence has been on our previous defense coordinators as well, so it's not like we're starting from scratch. And so I think it's important that we're not bringing in players who just that we like, but also kind of fit what we're trying to do defensively. And so, Coach Sirianni does a great job of having that interaction on a continuous basis between us and the coaches. And obviously we talk all the time, and it's just important. If you bring in a really good player who doesn't fit what you're trying to do offensively or defensively, it just may not work. And just because somebody's having a lot of success somewhere else in a particular scheme or system doesn't mean that the flip side would also work here.
Whenever you have as many contract extensions as you do, what goes into the risk assessment of having that many? What risks are you accepting in those?
Well, I think first, a tremendous amount of credit goes to Jeffrey Lurie, and allowing us to be aggressive and do these contracts early. And really, when you're able to do that and able to be in a position to lock down the caliber players that we think we've locked down over the last couple of weeks, it really gives you tremendous flexibility as you build your team going forward. It's a great success story for us to be able to draft guys and sign them to extensions. I think it's a great message to our team that if you come here and you do the right thing, you don't have to leave. And obviously, unfortunately, we've lost two players, two of the greatest Eagles in the history of our franchise who've retired, but they played with one franchise. We're very optimistic that we'll have two of those other guys who will end up doing that. And so I think that's legacy, to be able to have players that are able to do that. And when other players see that, I think that's a big part in building culture. So I think that's important, and that starts with Jeffrey, because if we didn't have somebody who was willing to do that and to allow us to sign guys early, and when you sign guys early, you're obviously hoping that the player's going to get a really good deal, because, obviously you want to work for both sides, and that we're able to spread out the cap hits and be able to get other players. And so by doing these deals early, we're hopeful that, we believe in the players we're doing it with, and we're hopeful that it'll allow us to continue to add to our team. But it all starts with Jeffrey.
When you talk about a prospect ceiling and the player development that goes into that, are there positions where you find that is more likely to happen, and positions where you maybe want more of a finished product?
Yeah, and Bo, I'm probably repeating something I've said before, and I guess that happens when we've been together for a long time. But, this is the only profession, and I don't know any other profession because this is the only job I've ever had, but this is the only profession where you take someone out of college and you expect them to be great. And if they're not great, you criticize them for not being great. And we believe strongly that we have to develop these players, that they come in here with a skill set, but they're unfinished products, and that we have a great coaching staff, we have great player development staff, and We have great support staff to help develop these guys. And so, you know, we know that all of them, like all of us, are going to have things they need to work on. And one of the reasons that we do these top 30 visits is to get a head start on that. So we're kind of hitting the ground running if we draft any of these guys. But I think that's the first thing. It's kind of here are the strengths, here are the weaknesses, how we can help them with the weaknesses, whether they're on the field, whether they're off the field, how we can support these people so they can reach their potential. Because a lot of these guys are 21, 22, some a little bit older in this draft, probably the last draft like that. But still, you know, all of us, 23, 24, aren't the same people we are as we get older. And so we want to make sure that these guys have the right tools in the body, they have the right intangibles, that they have the right willingness to be coached, to be taught, to work, to be great. And if they have those things and we see the talent and we see the work ethic, then we think that's probably a fit.
A history of having succession plans in place along the offensive line, Lane's 34. How do you weigh, you know, using an early pick on a guy that you want to be able to play early and versus having him sit behind a guy like Lane, especially with the positional importance of offensive tackle?
Yeah, sure. When you look at Lane Johnson, you're talking about one of the best players in the league. You know, one of the best people, one of the best players in the league. Incredibly fortunate to have him and the level that he plays at. And really, you know, I can't speak for Coach, but I know just from speaking to him enough, the confidence going into a game with him being able to be our right tackle and one of the captains on this team. And so you don't ever replace that. You don't replace that in 3 years. You don't replace that in 5 years. I mean, he's a generational. And so just like we talked about with Kelsey, with Fletch, like you don't ever replace those guys. Those guys are irreplaceable. But when you talk about position importance, you know, the O-line across the board has always been a huge importance to us. And it hasn't only been about the five guys. It's been about having depth up front. And certainly when you look at it, we've lost a couple of guys. We've signed here a couple of guys in free agency. May not even be a couple. But we have some guys also we signed as futures that we consider kind of you know, guys we signed in the offseason, and we have some young guys that we like. But, you know, it's an important position to us. And so we're looking at it just in terms of numbers about not only where we are now, but also going forward. I think also when you look at having guys, and let's just use Fletch and Jason as an example. I don't think I ever talked this long during questions. I'm doing
Nice chew on the clock.
Thank you.
Okay. Enough.
I think that when you look at that, like you have two options, right? You can kind of tell people stories about work ethic and how guys played and how they led, or you can have them watch that. And so for us, when we draft the Cam, we're still always trying to recruit Jason to keep playing for as long as he felt comfortable playing. But at the same time, having him be able to study how Jason practices, how Jason leads, how Jason takes notes, instead of saying, man, Cam, you know, you should have seen how Jason Kelsey led, how he practiced, how he takes notes. Like, we think that gives him the best potential to reach, you know, the ability that he can do, and the same for Jordan and Jalen. So there's benefits to that. You know, in the short term, you could say, well, you know, like Cam sat for a year, really, and so maybe you could have gotten some bigger bang for your buck with that second round pick in the short term. But we think over the long term, and we're trying to do things that are the best for this team over the long term, that it makes sense for these guys to be around these great players.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is our first time talking to you since the Hassan Reddick trade.
That was a good answer.
Thank you.
First time talking to you since the Hassan Reddick trade. I guess, what went into this, the decision to move on from a player that's still reasonably in their prime, and how hard will it be to make up for that production?
Great player. You know, Hassan had a great 2 years in Philadelphia, obviously. You know, Camden kid, played at Temple. Couldn't have been more excited to sign him. So it's bittersweet to lose a player and a person like that. You know, as the offseason went along and we added Bryce, who we're incredibly excited about, brought back Josh, drafted Nolan Smith in the first round. BG came back. We have some young guys at that position who we're excited to develop. You know, and through the conversations with the Jets, we felt like it was a win-win situation, but always hard to get rid of players and people like Hassan.
Nick, you and the coaches kind of come into this process later. What have you learned now that you've been here for a number of years to kind of get your sort of opinion of what types of players you want?
Yeah, I think what you learned out of this is, like, how much work goes into, before we even step in as coaches, there's been so much work, you know, so many different grades, you know, that from different scouts, like, so much work on all the detail that goes into the player, you know, and Howie's got a lot of things to listen to and then have to make a decision on at the end of the day. And so I admire that, of how much work goes into it and how much information Howie has to get and then have to make a good decision from that. It's an amazing process. It makes you think so much of, you know, how a team works, you know, in season and how and everything that goes into getting ready for a game on Sunday. It's quite remarkable there. As far as the type of player, I think you were really asking, you know, I think at the end of the day, it first comes down to, you know, everyone has to have talent to get into the door, right? I mean, you can't be the best person in the world, have no talent, you know, like, but it starts with talent. That starts from, you know, you watching the tape, you know, seeing all the times and all the different things. And then it goes into the, you know, I think at the end of the day, we tried to make it really simple as far as, is the guy tough? Does he love football? And is he have high football IQ? And, you know, we get all the information on the character on the from the scouts, but that's what we're always trying to figure out as coaches: is, are they tough? Do they love football? And do they have high football IQ? Because in my experience, and with around good players, those are the guys that you can't go to the game without. Like, man, the guys that have those three qualities, you can't go to the game without them. You feel like, you know, they're constantly succeeding, and they have the ability, you know, God willing, to reach their ceiling. Those types of players, right there.
Now, if I can ask you a follow up to the question Jimmy asked, it's Howie's job to think long term. It's your job to think about the next game, so to speak. What's your tolerance to someone who might need to sit a year?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we have to do, you know, it is. I always got to think about how we win the next game, but you know, and how we win, you know, that's how a coach is built. And I think Howie's trying to win the next game too, right? But we're also
damn right.
But you're also thinking about the long term success of it. Like, I think the way he's explained that perfectly, in the sense of, like, a great way to teach a player, like, how do we teach players things that we want them to learn in football? Well, we let them study the greats. Like, okay, for instance, if we want to teach a receiver a route that looks a certain way, you know, we take out a tape that, hey, here are all the best comeback routes that we've ever seen versus all these different looks. Here, take a look. Bop, 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 bop. Man, can you imagine, like, if, like, let's say we had a, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it, this is the first name that came in my mind. I must be old. Chris Carter. Like, can you imagine this comeback route that Chris Carter is running right here? Can you imagine just being able to sit with him and talk to him about, well, Cam had that for the last, you know, 2 years, right? And Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter were able to sit there with Fletch and pick his brain. Like, what an unbelievable opportunity that may not show itself right at the immediate, you know, right in the immediate future, but it's going to show itself later down the line. And with Cam, he had versatility where he could play multiple spots and not only contribute to a team, but also learn from Jason, right? Just 1 year he was backing up and 1 year he was playing next to him. So, yeah, you're always thinking about how you win the next game, but like winning the game is not just with the players that are the depth in the NFL is a real thing that has to be accounted for because it's such a long season, so demanding on the guys' bodies. Everybody that makes this team is going to contribute to this team, and then just what Howie was explaining is just the extra for it.
Wait, I just want to add to that. I thought that was a great answer, and are any of your own receivers get to learn from freaking AJ and Devontae, which is freaking special too. But I would say that Nick's point was the right point, which is like this isn't like another sport where we're sending them down to the minor leagues. You know, these guys are on the roster. We're expecting everyone to contribute on our team. I mean, you guys know this. When we won our Super Bowl, we won with a backup left tackle, you know, like that had to go play. You know, we won with kind of an undrafted free agent who was making big plays in the Super Bowl. We won, you know, without a bunch of our captains on defense. Jordan Hicks didn't play in that game, and Chris Maragos, our best special teamer, and obviously our quarterback didn't play in that game. So, like, we don't go and say, hey, we're redshirting guys, you know, even when we drafted Cam. And so we're drafting these guys not with the intention like these guys are never going to play. And obviously, like if you have a great starting lineup and they don't play, well, that must mean that there's good things happening too. But we're not sitting there going, hey, we don't expect any contributions. We still have to build depth on this team. We are still going to need players that aren't in the starting lineup on day one that are going to have to contribute for us to get where we want to go.
What's your favorite part of this time of year, and how much do you get into the trading part of it? You've obviously made tons of trades. I like the trades.
I do. You know, this is fun. You know, I think that from my perspective, the ability for us to really put our imprint on the football team, to be able to bring guys in, we're not going to lose any games, so certainly that's not going to spoil the party for us. I think it's a great time of year to see our scouts, our football ops, our coaches, our whole building really come together. I think it really builds the culture that we're trying to do off the field for all of us to come together and have this period and process that we go, because a lot of people are part of this. And, you know, we start that after the draft talking about all the people, because that's all the people that come together to do this in every department when guys come in here, when we have the visits to get us the information. So I think it's just a very special time of year. It's a lot of fun. I like talking to the other teams in the league and trying to figure out if there are opportunities to work together. I like doing that. I love picking players. I love calling those guys. And then when you have days like today, and we've had a couple of times, and you draft guys, and then you see them come in with their family, and you see how much their life's going to change, you know, Smitty will maybe buy dinner or something. It doesn't seem like he's got grand plans for that money. But I think that just seeing that, and like Coach said, just knowing that, like, you know, we had some small part of the legacy that he's going to put on this city, and selecting him, and just thinking about the moment where we make that pick or we make that trade in Smitty's case, or, you know, Landon and him falling to the second round, or Jordan and that process, just to name a few guys. I mean, it's special. It's kind of one of the reasons, obviously, we do this to win championships. You know, that's our first thing. But to also just have legacy and to have good people, and I'm proud of that. I'm going to go around. I'm trying to be orderly.
To follow up on Hassan, you referred to it as bittersweet and a win-win. What do you think the upside is for trading Hassan for the conditional pick a couple of years down the line?
Well, the pick's not conditional. We're getting a pick, so I don't really think I understand the question.
It's a third round from a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you think the upside is for trading Hassan with a year left in his deal in his prime for the pick that you've got?
Well, I think you're asking a question in a vacuum without all the other factors. So, I mean, if we want to talk about all the factors that go into building the team and the resources that we put into each position, we can do that. But I don't think the question's really fair and accurately describes the transaction.
When you look at the position that when you guys are at the clock, when it comes to balancing a guy's talent versus their potential injury risk, or they had several injuries in the past, how do you guys balance that, process that, and go forth with your decision?
So balance the durability issues with,
they could potentially have as well too.
yeah, we talked about a lot of the groups that are a big part of this, and our performance staff, our training staff, and our doctors are a huge part of this process, and we're not experts in that field, and so we take their guidance on that. We put a grade based on what we think the player is going to be, not only this year, like we talked about here with Bo, but what the player is going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line when we develop them at really the best of their abilities. And then we come in and we meet with the doctors and we talk about their ability to play through it. You know, durability is a huge part of this game. Having guys on the field is a huge part of how we have success. And so that is a huge part of it. And that's a factor at the end of the day. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're looking at a player, you love a player, but there's concern about, you know, being able to get into the second contract. And so you got to weigh that and where you're willing to take the guy versus maybe a guy at the same level at a different position or maybe a click below, but the guy hasn't missed a game and you feel really confident. So I think that's all the information that goes into weighing these decisions.
What is Stoutland like during a pre-draft process when he gets hot on a prospect? I don't know if there's any like stories that go along with that, but and the general benefit of having him in the building.
Yeah, you know, Stout's like he's we've been together for so long. He's like a family member. You know, it's like I feel like if you just came in and you didn't know and you saw. You saw some of the discussions, you'd be like, it would be like, whoa, what's going on here? And it's all because of passion. You know, he's incredibly passionate about what he does and the people in his room. And obviously, we've been really successful with those guys, not perfect, but successful with those. And us, you know, going through this process, we're passionate about it. I think that one of the things that has really worked well is we kind of see players the same way, you know, and that doesn't mean there aren't differences of opinion, but we see them, we work through it together. When he's passionate about a guy, you know, a lot of times we're passionate about a guy, you know, but, you know, it's funny because he doesn't want to know anything, you know, before the fact. So you kind of give him a list. And, you know, I may have told the story last year, but last year he's like, I found a guy, this guy, special. He's like, I found a sleeper. I'm like, yes, Stout, he's going to the top 10. You know?
Do you agree with the premise that this draft is top heavy?
In terms of, like, in the first day, second day, like, in terms of what's the premise?
Yeah, the first 2 days, and maybe even the first 2 rounds.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, people have come to me and kind of said internally and said there's kind of been some stuff talked about this draft. And I always say this, Jeff, you tell me who's going to be at our pick, and I'll tell you if the draft's deep or not. And so, like last year, we're sitting there, and, you know, we're in the sixth and seventh round, and it's like we were like, couldn't wait to get on the clock because of the players that we're enthusiastic about and that we drafted. And so, you know, I think the draft's depth is based on who's available to you at each of your picks. So I think it's going to be dependent on that. You know, when we're picking on the third day, if there's guys that we have third round grades for, it's a great draft for us, you know? So that's how I kind of view the draft. It's just who's available to us when we pick.
You made a few references about looking long term, looking at the future. You probably have more security than almost any GM in the league. You might not agree with that, but you do. You've been here since 2010. We know how Mr. Lurie feels about you and the job you've done. So what advantage does that give you to be able to think down the line, to be able to think long term when you're not sitting here thinking, I've got to do this now to save my job?
Yeah, Ruben, I would say this. I'd say my only goal is to win as much as I possibly can. And if I'm not good at that, I shouldn't be sitting in the seat. And so that's the only thing I think about. I think, how do I put this team in position? But I also feel like it's my job. I'm a caretaker in this franchise. I'm not going to be here forever. And I think it's my job to make sure that I leave this franchise in better place than when I got it. And to be honest, when I got it, it was in pretty good hands. And so everything that I'm trying to do is to make sure that the bottom doesn't fall out, that we're not in a position where we have to sustain, you know, a rebuilding time. We're always trying to retool. And how do you do that? You get out in front of problems. And so, you know, that's how I think about it. I feel like, you know, the way I think about things is like I'm not sitting here just wanting to compete in 2024. I want to do nothing other than win a world championship this year. Like, that's number one priority. But I also want us to put us in position to do it in 2025 and 2026 and 2027, you know. And, you know, if I'm not sitting here, I haven't done a good enough job. And so the reason that I was planning on sitting here is because I plan on doing a good job and making sure this team has enough talent that our coaches are in a position to win every game.
How does this year compare, Javi, to past years in your confidence in being able to guess what's going to happen before your pick in the first round?
You know, there's always going to be something different that happens in front of you or behind you that you didn't anticipate. I feel really good about what the players are going to come off around, you know, the first 25 picks. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be some moment in the first round where I go, whoa. But I feel good about that. I think that when you're picking in the middle of the second round, there's probably a little bit more curveballs that come your way, but we will be prepared for it. We will go. We don't do many best outcome scenarios. You know, we work with this will be the worst case, and even in our worst case situation at 22 and 50 and 53, we'll be able to approve this football team.
How you've spoken in the past about the pressures and the pluses and minuses of hometown players. This year, there's a lot of attention about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. It's a unique situation. How nuanced is that evaluation because of all that comes with the history of Jeremiah Trotter?
I'm biased towards our hometown players. I'm biased towards the people who have legacy with this franchise. So I think that's hard. And I think that's why, you know, when Coach talked about getting a lot of the information and trying to get myself out of that moment and you know, just trying to make the best decision for the Philadelphia Eagles and not making an emotional decision. And so I think when you talk about any of the guys who are local, and we just talked about trading a guy who was local, it's hard not to want to keep guys who have Philly ties, who understand what it's like to play here, or to bring those guys in. And I do think it's a plus. It's a plus to bring someone in this atmosphere who understands what it's like. And this is the best atmosphere in the National Football League. And I think that, you know, they know that when you win, it's like nothing else that you experience that. But it's different for people who haven't experienced that before.
All right, you mentioned liking the trades.
I'll get these two. And then I'll go back.
Okay. You mentioned liking the trades this time of year. How unique?
I actually like trades all times of year.
Well, there you go. How unique is this draft in terms of others, in terms of the apparent value of quarterback, receiver, tackle that might push some towards maybe the middle of the first round, towards you're thinking of that space and even what trade value might be at 22?
Well, it's gone both ways. We've been in drafts where there's been great depth at a position and you feel like, all right, like you'll just sit there and wait, and all of a sudden the guys go really quickly and you sit there and you go, man, I thought this was going to be a great draft there, and there's not many left. And so I think you just have to be prepared, you know. And again, I say this because it's the truth. A lot of the scenarios are led by Jeffrey in this and putting us kind of to the test over the next couple of weeks. And so when we're on the clock, it's just like Coach going through his game plan. We'll be ready. We'll be ready for any scenario that comes in front of us. We'll be ready to make decisions on the clock, and we'll be ready to trade.
I was just going to ask about the uncertainty still kind of surrounding Isaiah Rodgers. Does that impact how you approach the draft, not knowing, or you think you might know something in these next 7 days or so?
Well, it goes back to that we got to view the draft as what's best for the long-term version of the Philadelphia Eagles. If the long-term vision of our needs and our positional priorities is met with the short-term kind of impact, that's a beautiful thing. But at the end of the day, we're not going to stretch and reach on anything just because maybe there's a perceived need. I mean, we're still in April. We don't play our first game till September 6th. We're going to have a lot of opportunities to continue to improve this team. The talent acquisition season is not going to stop after the draft. We're going to continue to look. We're going to continue to try to get better and do whatever we can so that we're the last team standing.
Can I sneak one with Nick real quick?
What's that?
Can I sneak one with Nick real quick?
You want one?
Sure. I wanted your perspective on having two receivers now that are getting paid top-tier money and problems that could present, but also how you navigate that.
So, I'm sorry, say that one more time, Dave.
Your perspective on having two receivers who are both making top-tier money and how you navigate any potential problems that could.
I think at the end of the day, the problem, any problem that would happen is because, there would be jealousy between one. But these two guys love each other. Like, I hate to say it. These guys are connected. These two guys have a great relationship, and that's what you're trying to create for your entire football team. And it's a great example. Like, I feel like I'm able to use them a lot as far as the example of how teammates respond to each other. Like, Devontae is genuinely happy when AJ has a good game, and AJ is genuinely happy when Devontae has a good game, and they help each other get better throughout the week. Like, I can think of just play after play where just the excitement that one guy is excited. Like, I see AJ, I see them celebrating after a play with the same handshake that Devontae used to use at Alabama with some of his closest friends. Like, it's so cool. Their relationship's really, really cool. And these guys, I that's the best way I say it. These guys love each other, right? And that's a special bond that I know money doesn't, that's not changing anything, right? Because these guys have grown and worked hard together, both continue to get better because of who they are as players, but also from the help of each other. You know, Devontae helping AJ get better and AJ helping Devontae get better. So it's a special relationship, and yeah, I can't be more excited to have those
Coach, do you want great players?
Yeah, we'll take them. Thank you. All right.